Here's a delightful set of texts called The Reformed Confessions of the 16th and 17th Centuries in English Translation. It is in four volumes, and the very last catechism or confession that is included in this four-volume set is the Baptist Catechism of 1693. We are a few generations removed from Luther. The Reformation at this point is firmly established. We have the Lutherans, we have the Reformed Church, we have the Presbyterians, and as this catechism attests, we have the Baptists. In this edition and in this presentation of the Baptist Catechism, there's a brief introduction, and the first line is simply this: mystery surrounds the origin of this catechism. That's a great line. The mystery is this: there is no first edition. It doesn't exist. There's a sense and an awareness and a general scholarly consensus that it was first published in 1693, but the oldest copy comes to us from 1695. Secondly, we think of this mystery around the author. This catechism was called at one point Keach's Catechism, and that, of course, was named for a person, for a man named Keach, Benjamin Keach to be exact, who lived from 1640 to 1704. But there's also a sense that another writer participated in this and perhaps maybe was the main author of it. His name is William Collins. He died in 1702. So it's a little tricky to figure out exactly where this came from, exactly who wrote it, but what we do have is it. We have this Baptist catechism. This catechism starts off with doctrine questions. It has about 43 questions getting right at the heads of doctrine, and then it turns to our duty and walks through the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, that raises a question: who can keep the law? And that causes the catechism to go off and discuss some more doctrine and discuss the doctrine of salvation. And then it ends, as many catechisms do, by looking at the Lord's Prayer and by focusing our attention on this spiritual discipline of prayer. Well, let me take a look at the first few question and answers with you from the Baptist Catechism. The first question is this: who is the first and chiefest being? And the answer is God. God is the first and chiefest being. Now, this is interesting. Of course, you look at the Heidelberg Catechism. It begins with the question, what is your only comfort in life and death? So it's looking at us and looking at salvation and what salvation means for us and how that fills our hearts with gratitude. You look at, of course, the Westminster Shorter Catechism and its famous Westminster 1 with the question, what is the chief end of man? And the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This one, this Baptist Catechism of 1693, starts with God. Who is the first and who is the chiefest being? God is. The second question is, ought everyone to believe there is a God? And the answer is this: everyone ought to believe there is a God. And it is their great sin and folly who do not. So there's our obligation. This great chief being is God, and our obligation is simply to believe that he exists, that he is. So this raises a question, and that's question number three. How may we know there is a God? And this is the answer: the light of nature and man and the works of God plainly declare that there is a God. But his word and spirit only do it fully and effectually for the salvation of sinners. So that God exists is known through the light of nature, through the world that God made. It's a testimony to his presence, a testimony to his existence. But he is known fully and effectually through his word and through the ministry of the Spirit. And that is a knowledge that leads to salvation. That is the Baptist Catechism of 1693. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 minutes in church history. There's a little time left, so let me give you a quote from Ignatius, the early church father, writing against all of those heretics who are denying the humanity of Jesus Christ. He said, "Stop your ears, therefore, when anyone speaks to you at variance with Jesus Christ, who was descended from David, and was also of Mary, who was truly born and did eat and drink."